Hi guys, I'm in Texas. This week's episode of Pretty Lonesome is going to be a little bit different. Well, actually, it's not. We're just in a different state in a different country. So why am I in Texas? Well, thank you for asking. It's an Unwell event. And I will explain. Last night, there was a party. So I slept in Texas last night. I'm here this morning. And there was a party. Am I hungover right now? Yes. Is the only contents of my stomach right now goldfish that I just found in the kitchen of this random house in Texas? Yes. What is this house? I don't know. Someone's actual home. Like, okay, so Unwell's like renting it. It's like the Unwell house in Texas. Guys, this is someone's fully lived in home. Like, trinkets everywhere, baby pictures on the walls. Like, the bed is like slept in. Like, that you can tell. Like, it's not like a freshly made bed for like an Airbnb situation. It's someone's bedroom with their shit on the nightstand and everything. But it's crazy because above the door, there is a bright red exit sign and it's fully set up to be like, the garden is like got production stuff in it. And like, where am I? It feels like I'm on a very well-made set, but it's not. Like, someone lives here, but it's meeting like the safety regulations. Like, it has a fire safety sign lit up in red. I'm looking at it right now. I'm not lying. It's so weird. So anyway, not really sure where I am or what's going on, but what I do know is that I'm in like an hour right after talking to you guys, I am going to go see Alex Cooper. And all I know is that we're going to ride a bicycle. Nothing else. I know nothing else. So that will be really fun. Anyway, it was such a relief to see the girlies last night because it feels like a little bit of calm within the storm. Like, because this is also crazy. Basically, it was like a fan event. So the girls that love the Alex and Alex podcasts, they came, I guess, to see them. I'm honestly not sure what the premise of the event was. It was just like a fan event, like a party thing. I hid the whole time I was in this house, which was the only people allowed in the house were like the Unwell team. So I just hid in here. Sorry about it. I just get a little bit scared. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I went out. I guess everyone was like in the garden of this house and there was like a DJ and music and people. And I got a Carbone shirt. Guys, that was actually so fucking cool. I got a Carbone t-shirt. I don't know what for, but it has my name on it. So I'm officially an employee, which is really cool. Okay, so I came straight from LA to Texas yesterday and I had a bit of an overwhelming day. The night before, I had been out with Prada at their Double Club Prada event. And it was like a Luna collab with Prada. Now, when I heard about this, I was just like, oh yeah, it's a Prada event. It was not just a fucking Prada event. Now, I might just be uncultured in not knowing what Luna was. And yes, that's probably true. But like, I so severely underestimated how fucking cool it is. And I think I've got a new personality trait from it. Luna was the first ever art amusement park. And the pieces, I guess, were lost or stored somewhere. I don't understand. Anyway, Drake paid $10 million or $100 million. I've heard both digits be thrown around carelessly. I hope it was only $10 million. I imagine it might have been $100. Like, anyway, either way, Drake paid an absurd amount of money. And I just find it so funny that it was him. Like, what the fuck? Why? Anyway, I can't say that man's name with a straight face. Drake paid a certain amount of money to restore or even just to find the old pieces from the amusement park and put them on exhibit. What does Prada have to do with any of this? Not sure, but I loved it. And so they let me see the exhibition. Craziest shit I've ever seen in my fucking life. I have a whole TikTok vlog. The day that this podcast comes out, I'm going to post a TikTok of the Luna exhibition. Please, I swear, I cannot hype it up enough. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my fucking life. And so much art that I've seen throughout my life and designs that I didn't know were all put in this amusement park. Anyway, but it was so cool. And then there was like a club. So we got dinner. They served me raw meat on a plate and then lobster, both of which I ate. Guys, I have struggled with food OCD my whole life to the point that I didn't even eat chicken until like a month ago. I ate chicken for the last time when I was 13 years old. And I remember it clearly because I was in Disney World with my family. And I was already going off the idea of chicken because I was like scared it was going to give me salmonella. And then I went to Target with my mom and we picked up chicken and I was really hungry. So I ate some. And then I cried so hard because I was convinced that I was going to get salmonella. And I remember to this day, my mom and my sister dragged me around Disney World as I'm sobbing, having a panic attack, like so in my head, so teenager, so terrified of everything, sobbing, crying because I was convinced I had salmonella. they got on this ride without me. They never shut the fuck up about this ride. To this day, best ride they've ever been on. Funnest ride they've ever been on. I couldn't possibly understand because I wasn't on the fucking ride. Anyways, I sat outside crying to myself, having a panic attack. It was like some kind of rock star ride. Anyway, if you know, you know. And I vowed that day that I would never eat chicken again because it was ruining my life. And I never did. I never ate chicken again. I occasionally would nibble a piece of chicken skin on Christmas Day because it was so fucking tasty. But I wouldn't eat chicken, right? Like the actual meat, couldn't do it. And I wanted to. I wanted to go get a fucking McDonald's and I couldn't. And then I tried some of my friend's chicken because this bitch only eats chicken. And it changed my life. It tasted so good. And then I started to be like, okay, I know I'm scared of chicken because I'm convinced it's going to give me salmonella, even if it's like cooked to the bone. But I was like, it's every kid's favorite food. They, like, kids will eat chicken from like the worst like off-road diner you've ever seen in your life. And they're always fine. Like, kids eat chicken day in, day out. Like, my summer camp kids, I remember they only ever ate chicken from, like, the shit kitchen that was on site. Like, everyone eats chicken all the fucking time and no one ever gets sick. I feel like the cheaper the chicken, the less likely you are to get sick because they fry it in so much boiling hot oil. Like, the chicken to be wary of is, like, your mum's slightly undercooked chicken in the kitchen when it's, like, a chicken breast, you know? But, like, chicken wings and, like, chicken bites from, like, food places, there's no reason to be afraid, you know? So I decided I was going to brave it, and I tried chicken, and it changed my world, and I have since incrementally nibbled on pieces of chicken frequently, to the point I even got a Raising Cane's from Times Square. Do you know how absurd that is? To be honest, when I tell people that I ate Times Square chicken, they do look at me funny, because, like, no one does that, let alone someone with severe food OCD, so what the fuck? But, like, I clearly just, like, blacked out that day, obsessed with my newfound love for chicken. Anyways, I have since beaten my fear and I have been eating so many new foods lately and I cannot tell you guys how happy it makes me because I used to fantasize about specifically KFC chicken with gravy. I missed it so much to the point I would fantasize, I'm sorry, this isn't even funny to say, about being diagnosed with some kind of terminal illness or knowing for some reason that I was about to die, like you are in a situation where you know you're going to die in the next day. And I used to say, if that ever happens to me, I will eat the KFC chicken with gravy because by the time it's digested and I might potentially get food poisoning from it, I'll already be dead. That is a thought I have had repetitively since I was 13 years old. I'd planned it. I was going to eat the fucking KFC chicken. And now I'm in a position where they just serve me raw meat at a Prada dinner and I just fucking try it. Like, I didn't eat the whole thing. I just had a little piece of the corner, but I did try it. I tried the raw meat and apparently it was tartar, whatever the fuck that is. And then they served lobster tail. That is not even something I would consider eating. Like the biggest fish to me, I just don't do it. It's just not worth the panic attack I get. I don't understand the microbiology behind the infections. And like, I know what salmonella is, so I just avoid chicken. Whereas fish, I'm like, I could get all sorts and I'm just too OCD. I'm too scared and I don't even want to fucking bother. And I don't even like fish enough to try. Guys, I ate the fucking lobster. I wish you knew how insane this was because I have to call my mom and tell her. Like, I haven't even texted her yet. Like, mom, I ate lobster, but I'm going to literally have to phone her up. I might even call my dad. Guys, I ate fucking lobster. This is like a monumental moment for me. And I didn't have a panic attack, probably because I was drunk. But probably because I was drunk. And then you guys are never going to believe it. I ate a hot dog. Do you know when the last time I had a fucking hot dog was? I couldn't tell you. It was long before 13. It was long before the fear of chicken. I have not even bothered with things like that because I'm just so scared that they're going to make me sick. And this guy walked up to us with like a tray of hot dogs and they looked so fucking good. And I have fantasized about those longer than I can remember. I watch mukbangs because I'm jealous of what they can eat because I just can't get myself to do it. I ate the fucking hot dog. It was the best fucking hot dog of my entire... I can't even tell you how fucking good that shit was. It had mustard on it. It had ketchup. I don't even like ketchup, guys. I guzzled it. And you know what's crazy? When he handed it to me, I took it and I was like, why did I take that? Because I'm not even going to eat it. And then I felt bad. And then I was like, I'm just going to take a bite because a lot of the time with my food OCD, I feel like I can have a bite of something, but I can't eat the whole thing. And if I eat a whole thing that I'm nervous of, like a whole chicken wing or a whole hot dog, I feel like there's a higher chance of me getting sick versus me just having one nibble, right? So usually what I do is if there's something I really want to eat, but I'm scared of it, if I really, really want to, I will take a bite, but I will just take a bite. So I do that with like a lot of things. Like my mum will order something really tasty, I'll have a bite, but I won't, I'll then stick to my like safe food, which is like fucking pasta. So I took a bite of this hot dog and then I just had this voice in my head and it was like, I'm just going to let you eat the hot dog. Like, I don't know who it was in there, but someone that controls me and that was like, you're just going to eat this whole hot dog. You're allowed to. You can eat the hot dog. And when I gave myself permission to have the whole hot dog, do you know how fucking excited I was? I don't know, like something just released in my head, like you can eat the hot dog. I'm not going to stop you. And then I knew that I was going to get to enjoy every bite because I wasn't like, don't eat the hot dog, don't eat the hot dog. I was just eating the fucking hot dog. I don't know if this is, I think this will resonate with people, but like, I hope so, because otherwise I sound crazy. It was the best hot dog of my life because I was not saying I wasn't going to eat it in my head the whole time. And it tasted fucking incredible. Duh, it's a hot dog. Also, I'm really fucking cold. I thought Texas was just hot. Like, I just think of it as a hot place. And I'm like goosebumps right now because I wore a cold outfit. Anyways, so I'm really excited to be at the Unwell event because I feel like I spend so much time like working online and I speak to people over the phone all the time and like the team is great, but I never see them. So they kind of just become like a number in my phone that like kind of stresses me out. You know, every time I get a text, it's work and I'm like, oh fuck, like this podcast stresses me the fuck out because I don't ever, like I wasn't even going to say it on the podcast because I was like, no, like no one wants to hear me complain, duh. But like, it does stress me out. It's really hard to speak for an hour every week and I don't want to be one of those people that puts out content that's not worth listening to. Like, I mean, I guess that's kind of what all my content is, but it's like, I don't want to be someone that just like talks and then like is annoying, you know? And I don't want to, it's hard. Like, it's hard to find things to talk about that aren't completely fucking pointless to say and completely boring. And I'm very mean to myself about the things that I post. And I'm not a perfectionist, but I think anyone would be bothered by the lack of perfection when you have to pump out an hour's worth of content every single week and it's just you talking to yourself like, no, I'm not even a perfectionist, but the level that this isn't up to par for me still bothers me, you know? So the podcast really, like, it does stress me out. I love doing it, but it is kind of the only part of this entire thing that is hard for me and feels like a consistent like battle. And so it's really nice to come and like reconnect with everyone on the actual team and like remember that it's fun and it's exciting and like everyone is, you know, like young and figuring it out and we're all actually making a project that is so cool. The Unwell Network is so cool. The concept is so cool. The creators are so cool. Both of the Alexes, so cool. Like, everyone here is cool, everyone here is nice, and everyone here just is trying to like succeed and do something and create, and it's new to everyone. And so I feel like coming here has made me feel like a bit of a human being again, because it's not just like this mesh of things in my little ADHD brain where I'm like, ah, I can't do it, it's stressing me out, you know? Because that is exactly how I am all the fucking time. Me and my friend, we always say we have days where we feel like we have one finger up our nose and one finger up our ass, and we're just walking around like that fucking day, like, help, you know? That's like the best way I can describe my emotion of like frustration, because I have so much going on in my head that I can't figure any of it out, and like I don't know what to talk about, and I'm so hung up on the fact that I don't know what to talk about, that I also can't do my laundry and I also can't eat and I also can't walk my dog and I need to call 5 people, I have 10 meetings and I don't know what to do, and I'm just sticking my finger up my ass and one up my nose and I'm gonna walk around like that. Does that make any sense? No. Has anything I've said yet today made any sense? I think I'm gonna go to a psychic because I would like some guidance. But you know what I'm fucking scared of? I am way too susceptible to ideas that aren't my own. So like, I could go to a psychic with like 1-star ratings and she'll be like, yeah, bad career projections. And I'll be like, fuck, I knew it. You know, like she has a 1-star Yelp rating and she says something to me, I'm like, it's 100% true. But then she'll be like, oh no, you're actually the hottest, sexiest girl in the entire world. Everyone loves you. You're so funny. Keep doing what you're doing. You could never possibly fail. And I'll be like, it's not true because you have a 1-star Yelp review rating. So that is why I'm nervous to go to a psychic, because I will only listen to the bad things. And if they say bad things, well, then you'll never hear from me again, unfortunately. So I feel like maybe I'm too fragile for it, but I really, really, really want to go anyways. I think I'm going to go. And I was like, do I want to go to a psychic in Texas, or should I maybe like go to one in, you know, like LA? I think Texas. I think we go to a 1-star rated Yelp review Texan psychic. That's what I think. Maybe I'll just get someone on my team to like pay her off secretly and be like, just say nice things to her. And then I'll be like motivated, you know?
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, I have a suggestion. Sports. When you want something, you have to act fast before the opportunity is gone. That's true for a lot of things in life, but especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You want to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. The best place to do that is ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/lonesome. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/lonesome to try it out for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/lonesome. Tap the banner to learn more. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I do not have a home right now. I'm flatless. I moved out of my flat in London and I stressed everybody out because I was like, I don't have any moving boxes and I haven't organized anything and I'm supposed to be out of here in an hour and I still had my furniture, my bed, like there was mess on the floor. And everyone in my TikTok comments was like, what the fuck, babe? Valid, but guys, everyone's like, what happened? What happened? What happened? Like, did you move out in time? No, I didn't move out in time. I left all my shit right there and I went to Paris. You see what I mean? Not ready for therapy. Some of us are beyond help and it's okay, you know? But yeah, I ended up getting my friend to observe some moving men. Kind of funny, actually. When I moved into my flat, I used a service called A Man in a Van, which is basically just men that come in, they pick up the boxes that you packed by yourself and they put them in a van and then they put them in your new home and then you unpack. The service that I used this time was called A Gentleman in a Van. Like a gentleman, right? Gentleman in a Van. And they pack the boxes for you and then take your stuff wherever you want it to go and unpack for you. So I got them to go in, pack up my whole flat, disassemble all my furniture, and then they put it in storage for me. My flat is actually currently on the market, which is terrifying because technically it's still mine. I'm still paying rent, but I've moved out because I didn't feel comfortable with my landlord holding viewings with all my stuff in there. Like, on the off chance that someone were to view it and, like, recognize that flat as mine, like, God forbid, like, that's such a small chance. But to have my home just, like, open to strangers day in and day out, like, no, thank you. Like, I have so many personal things in there and just, like, mess. And just, like, I don't need people walking around, like, God forbid, taking pictures. You know what I mean? Like, I get enough bullying online for being messy as is. I do not need strangers in my home. So I decided that I was going to, just also for like safety reasons, I didn't want the address being online. It's such a recognizable flat. I was like, I don't want the address online while I'm still living there. So let me just move out. I'll still pay him rent because he can't have someone else in there. Like, he needs time to hold the viewings between me. And since I wasn't going to let him hold viewings whilst I was still living there, it seemed only fair that I would pay him a month of rent, but not live there and let him have viewings whilst my stuff is not in there. You know what I mean? Did I make any sense? So my shit's in storage, but the flat is still technically mine, which is terrifying. Like, there's just people walking around my flat right now. Everything is pretty much out. I still have some like art in there, but everything, like big furniture and like personal items, those are all gone. So it's fine. But yeah, scary. I was also like, oh my God, like my address is just like on Rightmove. Like, what the fuck? Oh my God, it gives me the heebie-jeebies because I actually had... I never said this online because when it was happening, I didn't want to make it a bigger problem and like maybe pique interest and like people start looking. But I had to install security cameras. I'm not laughing. It's not funny. It was like the worst period of my life. But I have had to install security cameras on my home, like my mother's home, because we had some guests. We had some unwanted guests. And that was a terrifying period of my life. People were showing up at my house and I do know how the address got out. Won't dwell on it. But yeah, that was really horrible because it was only boys. that were showing up, and it was teenage boys, and it was really scary, and I did not like it, and he did not appreciate it. And yeah, I had to pay for a very expensive security system. So thanks, guys. But yeah, I wasn't like, when that was, it was like a while ago that that was really bad. But yeah, I like didn't want to put it online and be like, guys, this is happening. Because I was like, no, because then more people are going to want to do that. You know, like the information was out there at the time. Got it taken care of now. But yeah, that was scary. And I feel like I low-key have PTSD from it. I'm kidding. I hate when people throw that term around. But like, I feel like I low-key have like trauma from that, and I'm just like not down to live somewhere where the address is publicly online, because that was so fucking scary. Because actually the first time that ever happened, I didn't know what was happening, and I had a knock on the door, and I went to open the door, and I didn't have any security or anything, and I opened my door, and it was a boy, and he walked into my house. Like, he walked past me and into my house, and it was the I can't even tell you how bad my heart sunk to my ass, because I wasn't even thinking it was anything to do with like this or anything. I just thought, a man has just walked into my home. Everyone knows what the fuck that is. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, what is happening? My mom was in the other room. I was like, whoa, like, I am her protector. Like, hello, she's so much smaller than me. She's 62. Like, I'm the man of the house, bitch. I can't fight you, but I'm gonna have to. And he, yeah, it was two boys actually, and they just kind of like walked in, and I was terrified. And they came like just in through like my porch, and I like stepped back out their way because I was so shocked. I didn't know what the fuck to do. And then I like screamed. So embarrassing, like, who screamed? But yeah, I like yelled for my friend to come help me. God bless, they were there. So yeah, that was a terrifying little experience that I had. And obviously it wasn't the only time, but that was the last time I ever opened my door willy-nilly. And I know I shouldn't be opening my door to strangers anyway, but I just like was so not thinking that anything was going to happen. Like, I just didn't think, like, I don't know. I think it was actually a great wake-up call for me though, because I did open my door a lot to strangers, and you always feel like you'll have time to react, or like you can close the door, or like, something could happen. But he was so fast. Like, he was just immediately in a position in front of me where I couldn't close the door or like get him away from me. Like, it was, and he wasn't violent. Like, he really didn't have like super malicious intentions, this one encounter that I'm talking about. But it was very weird. And I'm very lucky that nothing worse happened, because yeah, I was like, why the fuck did I open the door, you know? Anyways, I'm really excited to go see Alex later, because all I know is bicycle, and I'm really hoping that there's not alcohol involved, because I think I will throw up if I smell any. Like, you guys are stacked up on top of a book and two bottles of root beer, I believe that is what they are, and I'm just staring at them. Oh God, I'm actually fucking freezing. So I leave Texas tomorrow morning, and where do I go? I go back to LA. The reason I'm going back to LA is because, like I said, I don't have a flat in London right now. I don't have anywhere to go back to, and I'm not really looking for one particularly. I have considered moving out of London because I'm just not sure there's any point of me being there. Like, I don't have business meetings there. I don't go out. Like, I don't go to clubs. I don't go to bars. I don't take advantage of that side of the city. And I don't really do anything. Like, it's kind of just like hindered me. Like, I can't walk around so easily because it's London and it's kind of scary. And like, I live in Shoreditch, and it's just like not the best place to live in. Like, it's great in terms of like so many coffee shops and so many good food places, but like, it's very like industrial. Like, it's a inner city. Like, you can't walk around and just like be in a field and like chill out. Like, there's no fields near where I live. The closest green space to me is London Fields, and it's still like a 15-minute walk. And it's just like, I'm not really vibing there. And the only reason I've stayed as long as I have is because my friend is there, and I genuinely just adore her, and I spend all my time with her. So I'm going back to LA for 1 week, and I have a little Airbnb because I'm like, I want to see what it's like to live here. And I already know I'm not moving to LA. Guys, don't even fucking worry about it. I would never move to LA, but like, I kind of just like, it's cold in London and I don't have a flat, so why go back, you know? Like, I don't want to live with my mom. It doesn't work. Like, it's such a small house for two adults to live in, and The woman is fucking loud. Like, I love my mummy so much. She sings opera at 7 a.m. Why? She doesn't sing at 9. She doesn't sing at 10. In fact, the rest of the day, there's almost not a peep. But 7 a.m. on the dot, the woman is in the kitchen. Ooh! It drives me fucking insane. And, like, I feel so bad. It's her house. Who am I to tell her to shut up, you know? But it drives me insane. And she'll just, like, burst into my room. Madeline, what are you doing today? My mother is full of life and full of noise. And I just prefer a little quiet sanctuary. So I'm thinking I might get another flat in London or just move to the fucking countryside in the UK. Like, it's tricky because I don't have a reason to be anywhere right now. Like, there's not one reason for me to be in London over Texas. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have ties to any place other than I want to be near my mom and I want to be near my dad and I have a dog, right? So, like, those are my three considerations. But I'm in a position where I'm lucky enough that I can have my mom visit me. If I was to move to America or wherever I might want to move to, she can come visit me. I can make sure that she's able to do that, which is the best part of this job and such a privilege that I've been handed because of you guys. Like, to be able to just have my mother with me, that is everything to me. Like, I love her so fucking much and I just never want to be apart from her, which previously would have meant that I just, like, never left the UK because I just won't leave her. Like, she probably doesn't like that, but I will not leave her. So she definitely just wants, like, ease into, you know, easy living, kid-free, go get herself a man, like, have her holidays, you know, chill out. And I'm like, oh, hey, mummy, I'm actually going to live with you indefinitely. Okay, guys. We're going to our secondary location now. Can you see me? We're going to our secondary location. Maybe I'll see you there. What is a white claw? What is a white claw? I don't know what it is. Beer? I don't work out. I actually already feel it in my knees. I don't know why I'm still pedaling. She has literally got a motor right there. This is a vehicle. It's really bad because my jeans are so baggy. And full transparency, I am wearing slutty underwear. And so they're, like, bagging at the back because I'm sat down. So everyone driving past can, like, see my arsehole. Okay, first time trying a white claw. Okay, so I've heard Maya Knight talk about these. Ooh, that's really nice. Guys, there's nothing in this. 5%? This is like America's WKD. Do you guys have that over here? WKD? Fuck's sake. See, you guys can't hail me for not knowing White Claw. It's the same thing. It's like everyone's first drink in the UK, and it's got like a splash of vodka, and then it's like blueberry juice. Yeah, but blue. Guys, like, did you hear what that guy said to me last night? He literally walked up to me and was like, "You're so autistic." I'd met him like 3 minutes before. I was like, huh? Huh? Autistic? Yeah, like 5 times. It's like, you're on the spectrum. Okay. Maybe. It's an allegation. Actually do need to sweat out the tequila from last night.
I just took over your podcast to take the microphone. I'm so sorry. I'm just like, hey guys, what's up? Pretty Lonesome here. Madeline, how are you feeling today? No, I can't interview you on your own show.
Yes, you can, please. I can't. I don't like it.
So this is your first White Claw?
Second. No.
No, but I mean, like, in life you've never had a White Claw.
Yeah, no one like has them in England. I don't know.
What's the review? 1 out of 10?
A 10, but I just wish it was like not just 5%. Like, you'd have to have like 20.
Oh, you're trying to get like fucked up.
Kind of.
I am quite hungover. I made some really questionable decisions last night. I was told in the morning by Lauren that I got up on stage and I basically battled the band to a sing-off. What I was saying is, so I started basically challenging this man to a sing-off. And I don't know why I get so confident when I'm drunk, but I think I am the best singer in the world. And I'm up on stage, and this man is like, bitch, you're paying me to be here and to sing for people. Why are you singing? I don't know. Did you see that happen?
I heard the whole thing.
Okay, we were all just saying we have all complete different pregame playlists. Lauren just said, who do you pregame to?
I pregame to Dua Lipa.
And Madeline just said,
that's crazy. It is crazy.
She thinks it's the craziest thing that Lauren pregames to Dua Lipa, because who do you pregame to?
Boy Genius. I'm like crying pregaming till I get to the mascara and then I have to stop.
She said Boy Genius she pregames to, and I said, isn't that really depressing music?
Yeah, I said it's Phoebe Bridges.
I think I pregame to, I guess I'm like a High School Musical Hannah Montana.
So fucking good. You know, I drove through LA, listen, in my fucking stupid big Range Rover, and I was listening to the We Want It All, I Want It All by Sharpay Evans. So fucking good.
Wait, what's the one when it's the second movie and he's on like the golf course? He's like, I'm not gonna stop. That's who I am. No, yeah, I think a little High School Musical Hannah Montana goes a long way, but I would love to know, like, what is everyone else pregame to? And if you guys have any good playlists, you should send them to Madeline, who will send them to me, because I don't know anything about music. Oh, I love Post Malone. And I think I like became even more obsessed when I interviewed him. He's like the coolest person I've ever met. And now I'm like oddly obsessed with him. I'm wearing his hat right now. Do you like Post Malone?
I used to. I used to listen to him when I first got my first ever car, and I'd like drive around blasting Post Malone. But now I can't listen to him because it like reminds me of like when I was 16.
And are you depressed?
I was. We're okay now.
We've got it together. Oh, so it kind of reminds you of like the depressive age.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know that. I feel like that's how I feel about like, who's my depressive age? Ooh. Well,
I can't imagine you sat at home listening to sad music.
No, I did, but I was kind of like an alternative girly. Like, do you know what Mayday Parade is?
Yeah, they're like low-key emo band.
Yeah, that was me. Madeline, I was like a dark dungeon girl for a little bit of my life. I know you look at me like a raging sunflower loud girl, but like I was depressed.
That's so, you know, I have a picture of me on holiday. I was like 15 by a pool in like Spain, and I'm wearing a Pierce the Veil black t-shirt and skinny black jeans because I refused to take it off. I was like, I had a phase, like a heavy one.
No, I would literally show up to my school because I wanted everyone to know I was depressed, and I would only wear black. And they were like, Alex, you're not in the dress code. And I'm like, I can't put on a collar. I can't put on a color. I am depressed. And every fucking week, my head of school would pull me in and be like, you need to stop wearing all black. You're scaring everyone. But I was also maybe doing it for attention. Now that I look back, I'm like, was it attention seeking or was I actually depressed? I don't know.
I was homeschooled, so I was actually just depressed. No one knew who I was. I didn't have a single friend.
You're like, I did not.
I was genuinely wearing that Pierce the Veil t-shirt. Just for myself.
You're like, yeah, no, this wasn't for attention. I was literally by myself, and I was just actually wearing black and listening to depressing music.
Listen to Pierce the Veil. That's crazy.
Everyone is trying to get us to go take shots, and meanwhile, we're like, so when were you depressed? At what age were you depressed? Yes, let's go. Here we go. Here we go. Okay, we're going to go take shots. God bless. We're not depressed anymore. Let's go.
Hey guys, let's do a quick debrief, because yesterday was a little bit crazy. We were sat in one armchair 1 minute, and then we were on a pedal bike the next. First of all, I have an issue with those drink bike things that we were on, because she kept being like, you guys don't actually have to pedal, like I have a motor. If I wanted to drink at a bar, I would have gone to drink at a bar. I came here because I wanted to pedal a bike and drink a bar, you know what I mean? Anyways, I was pedaling like the whole time anyway, because I wanted to, you know, do my bit, but, you know, that's just me. I guess I'm just that kind of person. Charitable. Anyways. I came on my period this morning, which I'm not meant to be on my period this morning. I just kept forgetting to take my fucking breath control pill because I've been traveling so much. And I don't know, I'm just not that smart. So I just forgot to take it for like 4 days. And now I'm on my period. I'm in significant amount of pain and in about 20 minutes, I have to go down to the lobby because we're going to the airport, because we're going back to LA. Why am I going back to LA? Please don't get mad at me. I'm not moving to LA, but I am just going to stay in LA. Yeah, have you guys noticed that the quality of my podcasts are extremely bad, poor quality? No one really cares. Like, she seems like she doesn't even want to be here type vibes. Yeah, well, I've noticed as well. And the reason for that is everybody that helps me with the podcast and that I work with and that is part of the UNWELL team is American. And I need help. So I'm just going to stay out here for a couple weeks and try and sort things out and try and create something that I'm a little bit more proud of with the podcast and just utilize the people that are here to help me and speak with them. And I'm just going to be in LA for like a few weeks. I promise we're not doing the LA thing. I pinky swear to you, we're going home. Guys, I have a child that I need to get back to in London, okay? I have a fucking dog. So we can't stay, all right? Even if I wanted to, which I don't. But yeah, we're just a few weeks. So the next couple of podcasts that we're going to be doing are going to be in LA. And I have some fun things planned. So that's really cool. And then that's really cool. It's really cool. Like, yeah, it's... Oh, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm already becoming American. I'm not. Anyways, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be in America for like 2 weeks. Don't panic. I'm actually really excited because I'm going to like actually pretend to be a local. I'm going to go to L1 and like not take pictures. I'm going to take pictures. But like, maybe I'll even take the podcast. Guys, we're going to do so many fun things. And then, what are we doing after that? What are our plans? I don't know. Anyways, yesterday was crazy. It was so fun. I didn't bring you guys, but after we were on the pedal bikes, we went to Harry Gelsey's Hoedown, which Harry Gelsey is the new member of the UNWELL team. I don't think his podcast is actually out yet, but anyways, it's coming soon. Coming soon, a little bit of bro. I don't know when it's coming, but you know. Anyways, we went to his Hoedown, and it was actually the first time that I had met him. I thought his Hoedown started at 9. So I did not, but I woke up and I went at 9. Turns out, it finished at 9. So sorry about that. So sorry. But anyways, I still enjoyed the last 5 minutes of the Hoedown. Anyways, and then we filmed some content for something that I won't disclose because I don't actually know if you guys will ever get to see it because I don't know how good it was. But anyways, I'm still wearing the same t-shirt that I wore last night. This is actually, you know what I'm not even going to say? Because every time that I say where I get my clothing's from, people are like, oh, she's trying to be quirky. Shut the fuck up. Let me shop where I want to shop. Do you know how cheap the kids section is? And look how fucking cool it is. But anyways, I wore this Hot Wheels shirt last night and I'm still wearing it this morning, which is objectively disgusting, but I have showered in between. So I feel like no harm, no foul. I was only out for like 5 minutes last night anyways. Right? Anyways, I'm going to the airport. All my shit's packed. I'm not getting a new t-shirt out of my suitcase. I had to jump on my suitcase this morning to make it close. So, my period really hurts because it's the first day and I have like blackout in a corner kind of cramps because I have PCOS. So, wish me luck. Also, it means I'm going to break out, which I'm not thrilled by because my skin is just starting to get better. I have indigestion for some reason. I haven't even eaten today. So, anyways, thank you for coming along with me on the little bicycle journey. Guys, also, let me just, I have really learned things about myself this trip because I have had two people that I do not know stare at me and just look at me and go, you're so overwhelmed. Yeah. They literally said to me, like, okay, so the first person was this guy, never mind in my life, comes up to me, you're so autistic, straight out of his fucking. Also, this morning, I had to call the front desk of my hotel and be like, hey, do you guys hold any feminine hygiene products? And they're like, because I have no tampons and I do not have time to go to the store or even order one on Uber Eats. I have to be out of there in like 20 minutes. And I actually don't even have time to be doing this right now, but fuck it, I don't care. Anyways, I called the front desk. I was like, hey, you have any feminine hygiene products? He was like, yes, what do you need? Didn't expect that question for some reason. I was like, do I say tampons and think of myself as a real adult, or do I ask for a sanitary towel? There are taboos to both, and I don't know how to get out of this situation unscathed from, like, middle school trauma. By the way, for my British people, I say middle school because Americans actually do not know what you mean when you say secondary school. Huh? They go like that. So I just don't bother, because we know what middle school is. Like, we are like, oh, yeah, year 9. So I just speak in their tongues because otherwise they'll say, huh? So sorry. Anyways, I had to call him and he was like, yeah, what do you need? I was like, tampons. And I should not be ashamed of that. I am a woman and I literally do not care. Like, I've never even ashamed about something like that, but it just caught me off guard. I need tampons. Hello, stranger. Man, down the phone, I need tampons. He was like, okay, how many do you need? 3? I said, okay, he said 6. I don't know how to feel. Anyways, guys, shut the fuck up. You guys are talking so much today. I'm drained by it and I need to go because I'm actually going to miss my flight. Okay, I love you so much. And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Pretty Lonesome as always. And I will see you guys next week. Also, I need to get a car while I'm out here because I go insane if I don't drive. So what should we get? Honda Civic? I want to do something that all the Americans talk about. What is that one breed of car that they only have out here? Subaru? I want to get that one. So anyways, it'll be a surprise. I'll see you guys next week. And well, that's it. Love you. Bye.